It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
We've been telling you how crowded our parks and forests are this year as folks enjoy throwback vacations in nature. And now, we've got some numbers to back up just how popular the outdoors is coming from Wyofile. In the state of Wyoming, every state park campground was fully booked over the 4th of July weekend, and June was very busy as well. Curt Gowdy State Park had nearly 100,000 visitors in June, a 130% increase over last year. Glendo State Park, 111,000 visitors, up 20% from June of 2019. Sinks Canyon State Park, up 58%, and Hawk Springs, up 34%. As for the national parks in Wyoming, Wyofile did get some data from Grand Teton National Park, which reported nearly 756,000 visitors in the month of July. Officials at Grand Teton report hiking in the park, as well as backcountry camping, were both up 13% over last July. I guess that is one good thing about this pandemic. People are rediscovering nature and getting outdoors. Now, if we can just get everybody to take care of nature and not litter, we'll really be doing good. This Labor Day weekend on the show, we'll be talking to Brian Bell with Pure Fishing. He's got great news for you bass anglers out there. The Northwest Berkeley Big Bass Tournament, it's a go. It's taking place October 3rd at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir, and ground zero for this event is Mardon Resort. This is an open tournament, which means anybody with a boat willing to pay the $300 entry fee can compete, and there's good reasons to do so. The biggest bass weighed in every hour for 7 hours equals a $3,000 paycheck. That's right, there's going to be $21,000 paid to anglers if they're using Abu Garcia rods and reels. And one of those seven big bass winners is going to go home with a $42,000 Skeeter bass boat. I'm entered for this one, and after you hear what Brian has to say about this event, maybe you will too. Jaime Rodriguez, the man behind J-Rod Angling, is back for another extended Max Minute to talk about how he's catching walleye out of the Columbia River in September, a notoriously hard month to fish for marbleyes there. And then we're going to talk to Roger Phillips with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, because he has a monthly outdoors news roundup for us, and he'll be covering hunting prospects in the Gem State for deer and elk, as well as some debate over a proposed multi-use trail near Lucky Peak Reservoir, and a look at this month's September steelhead prospects on the Salmon and Snake Rivers. In addition to this, we've got some ideas about where you might want to go fishing in Oregon for trout or bass this weekend, and a conversation with Don Martin, the operations manager for River Recreation Rafting. Rafting season is over for 95% of you out there, but for about 20 days, there is a great whitewater rafting opportunity going on west of Yakima on the Tyatin River. If you're looking for a fast, fun, roller coaster whitewater ride and rafting experience, you'll want to hear what Don has to tell you about this opportunity. Before we talk about rafting, big game hunting, walleye fishing, and tournament bass angling, though, let's check in with David Sparks and see what he's got in store for us this week on Sportsman Spotlight.
The duck call guru, David Sparks with Sportsman Spotlight. With a more than healthy number of ducks predicted this year, you're going to want to listen to Ben Doherty so you can call them in. Talk about being an expert.
It really just depends on almost manipulating the call, I guess, to getting the right sound and the right, how would I put it, the notes down.
Excellent advice. Is there any one double reed that you recommend?
You know, it's really tough to get away from the buck gardeners. I forget what the name of that call is. It's a double nasty.
And why do you say it's hard to get away? What is it that they bring?
Just the sound. It's easy to blow on. It puts out a pretty realistic sound on that call, and they're cheap. I mean, they're not expensive at all either. So nobody wants to go out and spend, you know, $100 on a duck call when they're just getting into it. Price right, and they sound good.
Next.
The big note on any time that you're blowing a duck call, it's actually you're trying to make it sound like a hen, because the hen's really the only one that's actually making that quack noise. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to lure groups of ducks in by sound of realistic. The things you want in that call is going to be how loud it is, the realistic sound, and then the notes that you put out. What do you want to do, a feeder call, a hail call? But the big thing is you're sounding like a hen to pull them in.
And what she's saying is, hey guys, good food source here, come on in, it's safe.
And what it is, there's safety in numbers there, so they want to get big groups of birds to come down and be safe. You're pretty much calling them in the migration in the fall.
Great advice, Ben. Thank you very much, and good luck to you all. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight.
Hey, America. This summer, pledge to stand united behind the grill. Walk with pride, with beef in your shopping carts. Because beef is what's for dinner, and dinner unites us. After all, we may be a country with countless tastes, but united we steak. Join together at UnitedWeSteak.com. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Funded by beef farmers and ranchers.
I'm Ian McGregor of The McGregor Company. Our success depends on those we serve being successful.
My name is Brian Crow. I farm in Whitman County. McGregor's came out with Kickstarter. Wow, what a difference.
It's not about making a sale. It's about producing the best crop to help our customers succeed.
Right before herbicide applications, consistently, the plant was one-third taller and the root mass was one-third large, which was amazing.
The McGregor Company, dedicated people who care.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it. Gonna get up before the sun rise above us.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We are taking you to the Columbia River right below McNary Dam. That's where Brian Bell with Pure Fishing is casting for smallmouth bass as we speak. Brian, how's it going so far this morning?
Hi, John. It's been a little slow this morning. We're fishing jigs, Johnny Darters, and Moonshine Minnows right below McNary Dam. The current was a little slow this morning. They weren't running, spilling water over the top, and the turbines weren't running too terribly bad, so we figured we'd give that a shot. But we're getting ready to move downriver and get into the harnesses and plugs, which are usually really popular this time of year.
Okay, well, I've got an ulterior motive to call you today besides the fishing report, and that's to ask you about the Northwest Burgley Big Bass Tournament. Now, it was originally scheduled for May at Potholes Reservoir. It's been rescheduled for October 3rd at Potholes Reservoir. The headquarters for this is going to be at Mardon Resort there. Is this tournament a go or a no-go?
The tournament's a go. We'll actually be there October 2nd, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to start accepting confirmations and registrations, and then the tournament will be held on October 3rd. So we'll have a driver's meeting that will be a Facebook Live driver's meeting that will start about 6:30 on Friday night, and then we'll commence the tournament. Blast off is 6 a.m. on Saturday. It's a big bass tournament, or big bass format, so you'll get to weigh in a fish every hour if you choose.
And that's very different than a normal bass tournament, folks. Normal bass tournament, you and your buddy, you're fishing out of a boat, you bring in your five biggest bass at the end of the day, and whoever has the biggest bass wins the money. But on this one, every hour, for 7 hours, you're weighing in the biggest bass. And so this is a whole lot different in terms of strategy, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot of strategy that goes into it, John. Some guys will catch, may not be the biggest bass they want to catch for the day or that they're going to catch for the day, but they'll put it in their live well. And each angler is allowed to only have three fish in their live well at a time. But say they catch a 3.5 or 4 pounder, they may save it for a later hour, an hour later in the day, and come in and weigh that in. And as the fishing gets tougher, as the sun gets higher in the sky, that 3.5 pound fish may be an hourly winner and may be worth $2,000. If it's worth $2,000, it could be worth a $42,000 Skeeter bass boat.
And I want to talk about those prizes. Now, this is a very interesting tournament, folks, because it being the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament, you only fish Berkeley baits, either soft baits or hard baits, but you can't use anything else except for Berkeley baits. Now, fortunately, Berkeley's got a great line of baits. I've been fishing them all spring and summer long, preparing for this tournament, and they work. But let's talk about the prizes that you can win. We'll start off with the cash prizes for every hour.
The cash prize for every hour is, we were hoping to pay first through fifth place. Because of the lower number of boats, I think we're only going to be able to pay first through third this fall. But if we get enough participation, we'll bump that up to and pay five places per hour. The winner of every hour is going to guarantee $2,000 cash. If the winner of every hour uses an Abu Garcia product via either a rod or reel, they're going to win an additional $1,000 kicker provided by Abu Garcia. So there's a chance to win $3,000 cash per hour, plus the second and third place prize, which is going to be $500 for second place and $250 for third. And like I said, if we can pay a fourth and a fifth, we will. But then every hourly winner, like you said, there'll be seven hourly winners that will have their name go into an envelope and will draw for the keys to that 2020 Skeeter ZX190 with a 150 Yamaha, two 5-inch Helix Graphs, and a Minn Kota trolling motor. So it's set up and ready to go.
I'll tell you what, my friend Rusty Johnson and I were very excited about the fact we're going to win this tournament and win that boat. So that's fantastic. But for the rest of you out there, this is going to be a ton of fun. Like I said, you don't have to be the best angler, because the old phrase, even a blind squirrel can find a big nut, holds true here. If you just catch one big bass, and basically we're talking 4.5, 5-pound bass, you have a legitimate shot of winning $3,000. Now, last year, 6 out of 7 of the winners for the hourly contest were using either an Abu Garcia rod or reel. So you'll definitely want to make the investment to get one of those if you participate. The investment to participate in terms of the entry fee is $300 per team. But again, you get that first place prize. You're talking about a $3,000 paycheck. And if I am wrong somehow and don't win one of those hourly prizes and don't win that boat, you might win that $42,000 boat. Let's go ahead and talk about Potholes Reservoir and why this is such a great destination for this tournament. It's got a lot of big smallmouth, it's got a lot of big largemouth, and they're both on the bite at the beginning of October, aren't they?
They are, John. And one of the other things we're doing with the tournament is we will have hot dogs, hamburgers, sodas for sure. We're going to sell for $2 a piece. And all that money that's raised from that, we've got everything donated for that food giveaway or food purchase. So all the money, 100% of the proceeds, is going to go to the Central Washington Habitat Fund. And that's really the main reason that the Potholes Reservoir has become one of the top bass fishing reservoirs in the state, is that habitat replenishment group that's creating habitat for the bait fish that enable those bass to actually survive and thrive on the lake.
And they do that, folks, through these habitat boxes made partially out of PVC pipe, and they sink them down to the bottom. And again, they provide habitat for the bait fish. The bait fish attracts the bass. So another strategy piece here for you, if you find one of those habitat boxes on your fish finder, you're going to want to mark that on your GPS, and you're going to want to fish around that. There's a good chance there's going to be some bass and maybe some big ones in the area. Typically speaking, largemouth or smallmouth, which way to go when it goes to trying to get a big bass?
Well, obviously last year we held the tournament in the spring, and I believe 5 out of the 7 winners won with largemouth. That's going to change here this fall. With the tournament being in October, it's going to be a smallmouth fishery and a smallmouth bite. I think the smallmouth are going to move out a little deeper, quicker than the largemouth. The reservoir is going to be a little smaller than it normally is in the spring, so we're going to congregate a little closer together and push those fish out off the dunes and out into that deeper water, and I think they're going to find those smallies are going to be a little bit better quality fish and a little bit easier to find in the fall.
Well, I know my best smallie out of Potholes is 5.4, and if I can find that one again, I know I'm going to be in the running for one of those big bass prizes.
You'll be there in the money. You'll take home a check with a 5.4-pound smallmouth, I promise you.
Absolutely. All right. We need to tell folks about the place to stay here. That's Mardon Resort. It's a great facility. It's got a marina. It's got a fuel dock. That's where the weigh-in's going to take place. But this is also a great place to stay if you're participating too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And if you're interested, I know they have a few spots available. I talked with Marilyn last night, but they're getting full. They only have a few spots left for that weekend. I also want to touch base under the Habitat concession stand deal, I guess that we'll call it, that we're going to have there. It's going to be ran by the folks at Mardon, and they're going to have also out of their cafe on Saturday morning. They're going to be open early, and they're going to have some breakfast specials available as well. And I believe some of that money is going to go to the Habitat Fund to, you know, just top it off a little bit and make that a little bit better. Well, deal for the fund. So
absolutely. Well, the Miesberg families have been a driving force behind this Habitat project, and so great to see this. And if you want to try to get a place to stay at Mardon Resort, whether you're bringing your RV, whether you are looking for a cottage or a motel room or just want to pitch a tent, the website to go to is mardonresort.com. That's mardonresort.com. And the website you want to go to register for the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament is northwestbass.com. Now, personally, I don't want any of you to sign up because you're all competition for me, but we're doing this for a good cause, and this is going to be a lot of fun. And quite frankly, maybe you should sign up because the more people that sign up, the more prize money that gets paid out. The website to go to, again, northwestbass.com. I'm registered with the Northwestern Outdoors Radio crew. I hope you register too. This is going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some serious money taken home, and one team is going to take home a brand new bass boat too. Again, northwestbass.com for the Northwest Berkeley Big Bass Tournament, October 3rd, Potholes Reservoir in Eastern Washington. Brian, good luck fishing today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in October at Potholes Reservoir.
Thanks, John. I can't wait to see you there.
Rise above us. Got a bamboo pole and a leaky boat. It ain't much, but if you bail, it'll float. I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
With more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
It's that time again. It's time for another Extended Max Minute. And with us again is Jaime Rodriguez, the man behind J-Rod Angling. Jaime, great to have you back on the air.
Always great to be back with you, John.
Let's talk about September walleye fishing in the Columbia River. Your stomping ground is the Columbia between Tri-Cities and John Day Dam. And this is a month that's notoriously tough when it comes to triggering walleye bites because the river is just chock full of these shad smolt and the walleye are pretty well gorged. What do you do to try to get them to strike?
John, if you recall fishing with me last September at a fish camp, we didn't do very good at all during the day. But I'll tell you what, when I left fish camp, I just didn't go straight home. I went to the river. And by this time, the sun has fallen, the stars are out, and I'm out there catching my limit of walleye. So I'm going to be targeting more of afternoon trips when the walleye are feeding actively.
So we were just fishing too early, and I think that's what most people do. Everyone's used to fishing the morning, especially on the Columbia River where that wind kicks up. But if you can get out there in the late afternoon or evening, you can go ahead and get to the bite. What do you like to use at this time of year?
Right now, if I'm going to be out there targeting my afternoon trips, I'm probably going to be throwing on a big old crankbait, something that's going to get down to the strike zone and targeting certain depths in the water column.
How deep are you fishing? What color do you like to use?
Right now, it's not so much about color. It's more about vibration and action. It's always good to have an array of crankbaits. But once you do dial in a program with your color, then you can start switching out colors and whatnot. But the walleye are going to respond more to action as opposed to color. And I'm anywhere between 16 to 23 feet in the afternoon bite.
So when it comes to September, consider going fishing a little later in the day or maybe in the early evening. Tie on a crankbait, get it down deep, and get ready to reel in some walleye. If you want to find out more about fishing with Jaime Rodriguez, check out his Facebook page at J-Rod Angling. He's always posting pictures of what he's catching there and sometimes the lures that he's using too. Thanks again, Jaime.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm Bob Loomis, and I fish for walleye. Sometimes when I'm out on the water, I feel like a destroyer captain hunting for targets with my electronics. I'm not hunting submarines, though. I'm hunting fish. And when I find that big one on the fish finder, I want to make sure she's going to bite. That's where the SmileBlade Slow Death Rig from Max Lure comes in. The SmileBlade spins and flashes at ultra-slow speeds, and the one-of-a-kind red hook keeps that bait moving in a way the fish can't resist. It's the SmileBlade Slow Death Rig. You're the destroyer. This is your depth charge. Only from Max Lure.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
Backcountry hunters and anglers, the men and women working hard to keep public lands in public hands. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and it's time for our monthly check-in with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. With us here this month is Roger Phillips, the Public Information Supervisor for the agency. Roger, always a pleasure to have you on board.
Oh, thanks for having me, John. Always fun.
You know, we are rolling into September and October, and people are thinking about big game hunting, especially in the state of Idaho, which has a reputation for having some of the best deer and elk hunting in the entire West. Let's take a look at the forecast and the prospects this year. Let's start off with elk. How are we looking?
Oh, we're looking pretty good there. Our elk have been really steady. We're looking at the last 6 years, we have been over 20,000 elk in our harvest. That has only occurred once before. We've had a longer streak than that, and that was at the all-time high back in the mid-90s. Now, having said that, we were down about 8% in our harvest last year, but I think really when you're talking about 100,000 hunters out there and 20,000 elk getting harvested, that 8% is kind of just the normal swings that we have in our harvest. So overall, I think we're looking at something very similar to last year. We're probably going to be at our 10-year average, which is really high, and it would surprise me if we dip below that 20,000 mark, and it wouldn't surprise me to see us bounce up by a few thousand out there.
Oh, this is wonderful news. And it is Labor Day weekend. Archery season's open right now, isn't it?
It starts on Sunday. So yeah, I'll be out there chasing them around.
Excellent. Let's turn our attention to deer. We'll start with the whitetails. How are they looking?
Whitetails, we were down 14% last year, and we are also a bit below our 10-year average. But again, I think that that's pretty much within the norm of regular variations. And, you know, we've seen weather alone account for a 10 to 20% swing in that harvest. And we are coming off several back-to-back really good years. So, you know, this is kind of a wait-and-see year. And speaking of whitetails, we are doing some research on them. We're radio-collaring a lot of deer up there in the northern part of the state so we can get a better understanding of how these whitetail populations kind of function, because it's kind of ironic. You know, it's probably the most studied animal in the world, but it doesn't get a lot of research in the Northwest. You know, folks have kind of, I think, tended to rely on that research from other parts of the country, and we're kind of taking a look and saying, hey, how might our animals be different? So that's going to be a multi-year project, but, you know, outside of that, I think folks are going to see very similar to what they've seen in years past, which is pretty good whitetail hunting.
Heading to eastern and southern Idaho, I know that Idaho Fish and Game does do a lot of studies when it comes to mule deer. How are we looking when it comes to those populations?
You know, we're looking pretty good overall, but again, we're coming off two hard winters in the last 3-4 years, and that's one thing that absolutely affects our mule deer herds. And our harvest was down about 12% last year. But here's an interesting little factoid for you. About 80% of our bucks that get harvested are between 1 and 3 years. So if you have a couple of years that knocks out those fawns, it can really affect your harvest. And also, when we see those hard winters, we cut back on our doe harvest. So that right there takes some out of the harvest as well. So basically, long story short, we're looking at probably getting back to about average this year. And our herds are still down a bit, but hopefully they're heading in the right direction. We had good fawn survival last winter, and that's always a good sign, but we don't dig ourselves out of a 5-year hole in 1 year. Those things can reproduce pretty fast, but if we have 2 or 3 mild normal winters, then we should be back to pretty close to where we were. So this year is going to be a step in the right direction, but certainly not to the goal line.
Question for you. When it comes to non-resident tags of elk and deer, I know you can buy them in certain situations over the counter. Is it too late to buy them for this season based on the forecast you just gave?
It is too late because we have limits on both our deer and elk tags for non-residents, and those have sold out, and this is about the fourth, fifth year that they've sold out, depending on whether we're talking about deer or elk tags, and they are selling out earlier every year. Both of those sold out by June this year. So that's something that folks want to keep a close eye on if they're planning to come to Idaho as a non-resident, you know, buy those tags early to make sure you get one.
All right. Well, I'm glad I asked the question. Let's talk about a great tool that Idaho Department of Fish and Game has developed, especially for new hunters. You've got a video big game scouting series. It's a three-part series. Why don't you tell our listeners, even if they're not from Idaho, how they can take advantage of this?
Well, certainly. Yeah, they're on our website, and they really kind of go into the nuts and bolts of different ways of scouting, and the first two are kind of concentrating on digital scouting. And I might throw out there, too, that even if people are used to kind of doing a little bit of scouting on the internet, there's some really advanced techniques on here that everybody can take advantage of. And I watched the second one and was kind of blown away by some of the things that you can do with these things, and it's definitely worth checking out. But the key thing is that the question we get, especially for new hunters or people who just moved to Idaho, is where can I go?
Sure.
And obviously we're not going to say, well, gee, here's my favorite hunting place, but at the same time, it's a legitimate question. So we want to help them get over that hurdle and, you know, be able to find some places where they can go hunt, or at least they can get started and then get out there on the ground and hopefully see some animals.
Well, I think that's great because, as you and I both know, one of the biggest barriers we have for getting hunters into the fold is giving them a place to hunt. So having a tool like this that helps them out is fantastic. Folks, you're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Roger Phillips with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game about outdoors news from the state of Idaho. We tend to have this conversation once a month because they do such a great job of putting a lot of news out there that's very interesting. Let's turn our direction towards something very different, away from hunting. I understand that along Lucky Peak Reservoir, that's not too far from Boise, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had a plan, or has a plan, to develop a 15-mile recreational trail. Now, I'm guessing this is going to be one of those multi-use trails that's enjoyed by bicyclists and hikers and maybe even equestrians, but your state Fish and Game Commission is asking them to put the brakes on this. What's going on?
Well, you know, that trail is right through the heart of some of our best remaining winter range. And we found in the past that not just trails, but, you know, the more human incursion you have into some of these areas, the more likely there is for fires. There's invasive weeds. There's erosion issues. And we just think that this isn't a great place for it. And our commission just wanted to go on record saying, hey, this is, you know, our biggest, where our biggest mule deer herd in the state winters. The wildlife management area has had fire problems in the past. And as you know, once sagebrush burns up, it's really hard to bring it back these days. So we just want to protect the best of the best. And we're saying that this probably isn't the best place for a trail, and we'd rather see them build it someplace else.
Have you heard anything back from the Army Corps of Engineers, or is it going to be, you know, as is typical with federal bureaucracies, a little bit of a wait until you hear something?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wait on this one. I don't think they've made any final decisions, and they're probably going through their processes. So we just wanted to go on record to let them know that we didn't think this is the best place for a trail because it's pretty vital to our big game herds.
Last but not least, salmon and steelhead seasons this year on the Snake and Salmon Rivers. It looks like the forecast is for reduced fish this year, particularly in the steelhead numbers. How are you looking in terms of setting seasons in Idaho?
We've already set our seasons. What we did is, and this is pretty typical, when we're looking at a smaller than normal run of steelhead, we reduce our bag limit is one of the first things we do to ensure that we have plenty of fish coming back to hatcheries and people still have that opportunity to go fishing. But the other side of that equation is our fall Chinook run is looking pretty solid this year and should provide a lot of good fishing opportunity for folks. And that's one, it's kind of interesting. It's, when I say relatively new, we're probably talking about a season of the last 5 years. You know, those fish are a little different, as you know, than spring Chinook. So people aren't quite as clued into them, but man, there's some nice fish out there coming back, and earlier is usually better. And, you know,
going out salmon fishing this time of year in your t-shirt on a nice day, kind of a nice way to go fishing.
You make me want to go fishing just hearing you say that. We have got to go, but folks, if you want to find out more about what's happening in the state of Idaho, just Google Idaho Department of Fish and Game. You'll find a link to their website there. Look for the media tab and keep up on all the outdoors news that's coming out of the Gem State. There's a lot of it, and there's a lot for you to do there. Roger, always a pleasure to have you on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thanks, John. You keep up the good work.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Next on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, if you love river rafting, and who doesn't here in the Northwest, you're probably a little bit bummed because, you know, the rivers are low as summer flows have dropped, and river rafting is pretty much over on most of our rivers, but there is one exception. You'll find it in central Washington. It's called the Tyatin River, and it is turning on like a spigot this month. With us here to tell you more about it is Don Martin, the operations manager for River Recreation, offering whitewater rafting on the Tyatin. Don, great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell our listeners about this really unique annual opportunity that takes place west of Yakima on the Tyatin?
Yeah, so the Tyatin is referred to as the flip-flop because when all the other rivers in Washington State, as well as the Northwest, are really low and there's no water in the river, we run the Tyatin River, which is a dam release river, like you said, in central Washington, just outside of Yakima. And it really starts ramping up here the weekend of the 5th and 6th and runs through the weekend of the 20th. And it's the best whitewater, not only in Washington State, but in the Northwest. We see a lot of people come from all over Idaho, British Columbia, sometimes Northern California, as well as Oregon, just to boat in September on the Tyatin River. So the whitewater's going to be great again this year.
This river basically flows from Rimrock Reservoir, and they pretty much release the valves at the dam, and so you have all this water spilling out. I understand that it's a really fast ride, and it's pretty much a constant Class 3 ride along the way, so it's almost like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the steepest run that we run in Washington State. And when they open up that dam, we get the water in the upper valley before they get it in the lower valley, in the Yakima Valley, to be able to supplement some of the water in the lower Yakima region.
How long of a rafting trip is this? I've heard it's one of the fastest ones you'll ever take.
It is, yeah, absolutely. When the water's really flowing, we're only on the river for about 2 hours, so it's really fast. We're covering 14 miles in 2 hours.
Wow.
When the water's at a medium level, it's more like 2.5 to 3 hours, but it's definitely consistent and definitely constant whitewater and definitely a lot of fun.
Do you have to have experience to enjoy one of these trips?
It is recommended that you've been in a river before you run something like the Tyatin. The Tyatin is more of an intermediate river. So a good idea maybe to have done some rafting on something like the Wenatchee River, which is great Class 3, before you head to the Tyatin. The Tyatin is a technical river, and there's some real tight moves in there that you have to make as a guide, and you have to be pretty precise. We put our best guides out there on the Tyatin River for a reason, but it's not required that you have rafted before you come to the Tyatin with us.
Okay. Well, this sounds like a ton of fun. What's the website if people want to reserve a trip to go rafting on the Tyatin during this short window between September 5th and the 20th?
Yeah, you can come to our website at riverrecreation.com, or you can also check out our Facebook page or our Instagram page for some great pictures and updates as well.
Now, I know that this is a short opportunity, and I'm guessing you're pretty much done after this, but I want to look ahead towards spring and summer of next year because you're based on the Wenatchee River in north central Washington. You offer not only the standard Class 3 trips that everybody seems to enjoy in the Wenatchee, but you actually offer combo rafting / brewery or combo rafting / winery trips. Tell our listeners about these.
Absolutely. So we started doing the Paddles and Pints trip, which is a combination trip of rafting in the morning and beer tasting at three different breweries several years ago. Like I said, we take you on the river, take you around to a few breweries, give you a tour, do some tastings here and there, grab a pint, and then we take you back to our place where we have dinner and enjoy maybe a pint or two around the campfire that night, as well as our whitewater and wine trip, which incorporates rafting in the morning, wine tasting in the afternoon at three of our specially picked wineries in the Great Wenatchee Valley that offer some amazing wine. And again, we bring you back to our facility, our Riverside Base Camp, where we cook you dinner and enjoy a nice glass of red or white around the campfire and relax that night.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Are people camping at your location, or are they staying in some of the nearby motels and hotels in Wenatchee?
Well, we really urge people to stay at our base camp, where we have a small group camping spot there. Not only are we going to be safe on the river, but we're going to be safe off the river. So we've really created a full circle of safety on and off the river, no matter if we're at a brewery, a winery, or on the river.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun to me. Is it too early to reserve one of those spots now?
Well, we'll actually have that information out right around December 1st to start reserving for the 2021 season.
Okay, so keep your eyes on riverrecreation.com. That's the website to look for if you're interested in one of these Wenatchee River combo rafting brewery or rafting winery trips next year, or if you want to go right now rafting on the Tyatin and really enjoy some fast whitewater and a fast trip, go to riverrecreation.com. Don, thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Hey, thank you, John. Have a great day.
Heading to the Beaver State, if you're looking for a place to drop a line this Labor Day weekend, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has some suggestions for you, to include you trout and steelhead anglers who might want to head down to the Lower Rogue, where half-pounder steelhead numbers are picking up every day. If you want to head to Detroit Reservoir, most of the boat ramps are open and anglers have been reporting excellent fishing there. Fishing has also been great at Spalding Reservoir and Grants Pass for 12 to 16 inch rainbows, which have been aggressively biting flies and lures. And it's also been great on the Owyhee River near the Idaho border, near Vail, below the reservoir. Anglers have had success there using hopper or other terrestrial fly patterns, in addition to mayflies and nymphs for both rainbows and brown trout. If you like warm water species, Coffinberry Lake in Fort Stevens State Park near Astoria was sampled earlier this summer and has some very nice largemouth bass for you there. Bass have also been biting at Cooper Creek Reservoir near Sutherland, and anglers continue to do quite well on the South and Main Umpqua Rivers for smallmouth bass in Southwest Oregon. Last but not least, the Willamette River from Albany down to Salem has been fishing well this summer for both smallmouth and largemouth bass. And you can catch them on the fly, especially if you're using streamers early or late in the day. In short, there's quite a few places to go fishing, and we're just scratching the surface. If you want to find out more, go to myodfw.com, go to the recreation report, and look for the fishing reports in zones near you. Stick around, we've got more of the outdoors coming your way, to include your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week and your chance to win a $25 gift card from America's Premier Outfitter right after this short word from our sponsors.
How's the fishing?
If you could parachute a boat into this backcountry lake, it would be great. There's plenty of trout jumping out there, but I can't cast to them from the shore. Hey, what's that?
You may not be able to airdrop a boat here, but with Wilderness Light, you can pack an ultralight float tube in. This float tube, including the pump and fins, weighs less than 5 pounds and are compact enough to fit in my day pack. Order your Wilderness Light Ultralight Float Tube at WildernessLightFloatTubes.com.
WildernessLightFloatTubes.com?
WildernessLightFloatTubes.com. Get out where the fish are without the wait.
Nature at its finest. That's what you'll find in Northeast Oregon's Wallowa County. Paddle a kayak or go fishing at Wallowa Lake. Hike into the Eagle Cap Wilderness or soak in the views after taking the tram to the top of Mount Howard. Then take time to explore the towns of Joseph and Enterprise. No matter how you take in this country, you're sure to enjoy it. That's the beauty of Wallowa County, and that's why we're home to one of Oregon's seven wonders. Find out more at WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Go fishing, help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
I'm glad you're back. You know, September is prime time for elk and deer archery hunting. And if you need a new bow, or maybe some accessories for that bow, or maybe some more arrows, or maybe a target to practice on, you really need to head down to your local Sportsman's Warehouse store. There's well over 100 of them, well over 100 around the country now, and many of them are in the greater Northwest, so there's bound to be one near you. So get on down there if you're an archery hunter, or if you want to be an archery hunter, and get what you need so you can bag a deer or an elk this season. And if for some reason you can't get down there, you can always shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. And with that, it is time for your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week. Now, Scotland has the Loch Ness Monster, but just over the border in British Columbia, you just might be able to see a sea serpent too. The place to look is Lake Okanagan, a big lake stretching from Penticton in the south, north past Kelowna, all the way to Vernon. That's where a sea monster has been rumored to swim for, well, about 150 years now, and as late as last year, a video was taken allegedly showing the sea monster swimming along the surface. Here's your question. What's the name of this Canadian sea serpent that may or may not be found in Lake Okanagan in British Columbia? If you think you know, just go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. If you haven't already, please like and follow our page, and then look for the post where we've got the question and give us your answer there. We will randomly draw one lucky person who guesses right, either through there or through our website. If you don't do Facebook, just contact us through northwesternoutdoors.com, and one person is going to win that $25 gift card we give away every week from Sportsman's Warehouse. The question again, the name of the sea monster that may or may not live in Lake Okanagan in British Columbia. It is Labor Day weekend. I know a lot of you are tuning in from campgrounds and campsites, and I think that's fabulous that you're out there and that you are. Normally, I would be getting ready to go to fish camp in the Columbia River Gorge. Ed Iman's Fish Camp has been a staple since 2003. I've been there every year since 2004, where I have fished and hobnobbed with people from the outdoors industry and fishing industry, and just had a wonderful time with friends. Unfortunately, This event, like so many others, is a casualty of COVID-19. Now, I could just take my toys, or in this case, my fishing rods, and stay at home, but no, I'm going to do something a little different. I am heading to Montana. As a matter of fact, I'm going to head towards Whitehall, and then I'm going to fish the Jefferson River and explore Lewis and Clark Cavern State Park, a place I haven't been for 5 years. Looking forward to that, but looking even more forward to heading to Yellowstone National Park, going to hike to Grebe Lake there. It's a place that has Arctic grayling and a lake that has a special place in my family tree. I'll tell you more about that as we put together the show featuring Lewis and Clark Cavern State Park in Yellowstone. You'll be hearing that in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, I do hope you get out there to enjoy all the outdoors opportunities that September has to offer, whether you are fishing, whether you are hunting, whether you are hiking, or getting in some camping after the Labor Day crowds are gone. It's all out there waiting for you throughout the greater Northwest. Until next time, do take care, God bless, stay healthy, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.